Good morning. Wonderful to be in the house of God where there's so much joy. What a topic to have for today. And when you look at the joy we've already started off with, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we're about to bust the roof off this place, and it's awesome. And I believe that God intends for us to be joyful. Joy is mentioned many times in Scripture. For good reason. Anything that's mentioned many times, we know there's a reason it's mentioned many times. And even if you think about it, when our kids are joyful, how do we feel? So I definitely believe that when we're joy-filled, God gets joy from that. So that certainly helps with our walk with God to have that joy. And I agree with the concept that to some extent, joy is definitely a decision. There are circumstances always that make it sometimes very much a struggle to stay in that joy. But I have a couple of thoughts on that about how to stay in God's joy. First of all, I believe joy and gratitude are definitely linked together. If you think back to your greatest moments of joy, can you think of one time that you felt joy that you weren't thankful for something? I really don't believe you can have one without the other, that they just go hand in hand. And the best option then that I have found when I feel my joy beginning to slip, first is to find something to be thankful for. And that's not hard. You start counting blessings, that's kind of like trying to count the grains of sand on the beach. And the other part of that I have found is, at the toughest times, if I get outside of myself and start helping other people, do volunteer work or find ways to help. And just as a little bit of a testimony, and I'll keep it real short here, but we've all had tough times. That's life. It's going to happen to every one of us. And I'm certainly no exception to that. At the worst point in my life, I will tell you, I was so down that I had to stay up all night and tell myself to breathe. Now that's kind of down. One of the ways that I finally was able to pull myself out of that and pull myself back together was to begin to volunteer as a child advocate. Now, again, and I'm not even saying everybody should be a volunteer or anything like that, but I have found the best way I know of to pull myself out of the dumps is to go out and find somebody else to help. And how hard is that? And I've thought a lot about this. I really believe God put that in our spirits that we should want to help each other. And how well does that work? There's always times every single one of us need help. And then there's also that drive for every single one of us to help. So it just kind of really works well together. The next part I want to talk about is Scripture, Isaiah 52, verses 7 and 8. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen, lift up their voices together. They shout for joy. Do we have things to shout for joy about? Do we have joy that we should demonstrate to the world? When you look at the condition of things now, and I know we've all had seen the struggles this year between the political arena, the COVID, all of the things that have been going on, has there ever been a time that the world is more in need of joy? And I tell you, a big prayer I've had lately has been asking God to shine his light. Let the truth be known. Shine his light into the darkness. And what I felt on my spirit during prayers last night, and I felt it very strongly, was the message that, no, that's your job. We're to be conduits of God, of his love, of his light, of his joy, that we should be projecting that back out into the world. And I really felt like I got that word from God last night, so I really wanted to share that this morning, that I believe we are to go out and show the world there is a better way. So big goal for me is that the people who don't know God will see something in me that they want. And who wants, doesn't want joy? So for certain, that's one of my goals going forward. Lastly, I have a couple more scriptures. Psalms 65:8. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. And lastly, Psalms 66:1 and 2. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. So part of joy. Gee, did any of us feel any joy in the song we just sang? That's honestly become one of my all-time favorite songs, Raise a Hallelujah. And in this year, the year of 2020, I would say that's my theme song. And so that's, for me, another source of joy. Anybody that knows me probably knows how much I love praise and worship music. But that's another tool that I feel that we have if we feel our joy begin to slip, is to get into our praise and worship. Not only does that help to bring us into the presence of God when we're turning to him, but can restore our joy. And gee, many of our praise songs are filled with gratitude, which I think kind of brings us back to my first point of the two of them being interlinked. So I wish for all of you joy, the greatest gift that any of us can have all year round.
Amen. And we will light the candle of joy, representing joy. I think we'll light it. Yes. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. I entitled this sermon, Has God Indeed Said? Amen. We've got dear, dear friends with us today, the Pascals and the Halls. You all know the Halls well, and some of you know the Pascals. And what you may not know is that our relationship runs so deep. We met in our home for 5 years, once a month, and just fellowshiped together and had Bible studies together, and it really intertwined our lives together, and just we just feel like they're like our family, our sons, and I wanted to let you guys know, we started the same thing sort of again on Tuesday night. I meet with young men, and trying to raise up spiritual sons, and it's one of the honors of my life. You can come, brother, if you want to come. I would love to have you. Amen. So, you know. I went to a funeral this year of my spiritual father, and I sat around a room full of sons that he had. He only had one natural son, but he had many, many sons in the faith. And I thought, when I die, I hope the room is full of spiritual sons and daughters that I have mentored in my life. That's my joy. They literally, his sons are the ones that carried him out. So, amen. Genesis chapter 3. It says, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may not eat of the tree of the garden, but of the tree we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the days you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. when they had heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Amen. Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord, we just pray for the Spirit of the Lord to get personally involved in this service. God, I pray that you would lift the words of this page and the words that will come out of my mouth. And God, I pray that they would become seeds of faith that would be planted in each heart. I pray, Lord, that our ears would be open and perceptive to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that when we leave today, we will not have been entertained, but we will be changed into the image of Christ more than we've ever been before. God, help us to overcome the spirit that is at work in this world today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I studied this portion of scripture this week, I just felt the Lord wanting me to speak this to you. And as I read this, I just begin to have questions. Questions just begin to come up in my mind. So that's basically what this sermon is going to be, is it's the questions that came up in my mind that I want to ask you. I want to help you answer them. And it's some of the things that I believe that they were asking themselves. Like I said, I titled this, "Has God Indeed Said?" So the first question that I come up with is, can I believe God? Can I believe God? When God speaks something to my heart, when I read the Word of God, which is His Word, the Bible says that 40 men of God wrote this scripture, but it really had one author, and the author was the Holy Spirit. He happened to use 40 different people, but the author was the Holy Spirit. It is God's last will and testament. It is the Word of God. God watches over His Word to perform it. Can I believe it? Can I believe God? In Numbers chapter 23, it says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" I'm telling you today, you can believe God. If God speaks to you, if you read it in the Bible, it's truth. Now, anything else you see, anything else you hear, anything you've been taught by grandma, you might want to doubt that. You might want to take that to the Word. But the Word of God is truth. Somebody was saying yesterday at the men's meeting, you know, it's really not the truth you know that sets you free. It's the truth you do. So, you know, the Word of God sets you free, but it's when you do that truth. It's when you live in that truth. We wonder why so many people are in bondage. You know, the enemy is lying at an all-time high right now, I believe. In Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I believe it's 1 Timothy, the Bible says, "In the last days, a spirit is going to pervade and prevail in the earth, and it's a spirit of deception." Now, you can read it, but it says, the Spirit expressly says, I'm telling you, He was giving us a forewarning. And if there's ever been a day in which I have witnessed the deception of Satan on the earth, it's today. I'm telling you, a large part of my job is really not preaching, it's talking to people every day. I have spent time with a couple of different preachers in the last week that are debating leaving the ministry. One man texts me, one of the most likable men I've ever known in my life, texts me and said this. He said, it was middle of the night. He said he was just up. He said, am I likable? Am I likable? Do people like me? Folks, do you see what's happening? The devil's lying to people. The devil is striking you at your core and trying to get you to think badly of yourself and badly of the God we serve. The spirit of depression and discouragement is at an all-time high. You know, those that do statistics say that 30% of the people that used to attend church will never come back. We are running about 50% of what we used to run, 50 to 60%. If you think that those people that are staying at home are doing well, you're wrong. You're wrong. They are suffering discouragement. I don't care how long they've been saved. They're getting hammered over the head by Satan. We need that joy that Deb just talked about. We need to encourage each other. We need to intertwine. I really believe that the Lord has told me this for this church. 2021 will be a church of fellowship, be a year of fellowship for this church. It's going to be a year where we endeavor to get together and fellowship more than ever before. Why? Because we need it. See, Satan, the Bible says Satan is a roaring lion. You know what lions do? When they're picking their prey, when they see a bunch of deer or what those little animals are, you know what they try to do? They try to get one off alone, don't they? Don't they try to get one away from the pack? They don't attack the pack. They try to isolate one. And when they isolate one, it's a goner. They're going to get their animal. Do you know Satan is as a roaring lion? Do you see what he's trying to do this year? He is trying to isolate you away from the body of Christ. If he can get you alone, if he can pull you away from the pack, you are vulnerable. That's good preaching, Pastor. Hebrews chapter 13 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God started off being faithful. He was faithful in Jesus. He will always be faithful. In James tells us this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do you know what the last part of that line means? The last part, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It means God does not have a bad day. God doesn't have a bad year or a bad decade. In 2020, God has not been bad. God is good. He's always good. He delivers good. Anything God gives you is going to be good, I promise you. But Satan wants to turn it. Satan wants to make you doubt. He is after your faith. More than anything, Satan's after your belief system. The second question I had is God good or bad? Is God a giver or a taker? Do you realize that Satan slipped into a perfect environment where God came down every day and talked to his children and he deceived them? I thought about this last night as I was praying. I thought about how many people have raised kids and you raised them in church. You took them to church. You had them in Sunday school. And today they don't serve the Lord. And many of you live with guilt because of that. And I just wanted to tell you, let me tell you, Satan deceived Adam and Eve. He can deceive your children. And he can deceive you if you're not careful. If you don't stay grounded in the Word of God and stay into the presence of God, any one of us can be deceived. You be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. That's what Scripture says. Is God good? Is God a giver or is he a taker? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, God started off giving to us. God's not withholding from you. God wants to bless your life. I remember I had an aunt that she always told her children, God's going to get you for that. I got news for you. God's not looking to discipline you. God's not looking to strike you down. God's looking to bless you and to give to you. God's a giver. He's not a taker. God wants you to do right. God's not a killjoy. Anything that he tells you to stay away from, it's for your good. It's for your benefit. You know, I think a lot of us are like Samson. We just get a little too close to the enemy. We start sleeping with the enemy. We start letting her run her fingers through her hair. And then we wonder why we fall. Because you've been sleeping with the enemy, brother. The closer you get, the easier it is to fall. Stay away. Don't go close. Matthew chapter 7 says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to you, to those who ask him? You know, most people I know, most parents that I know, want their children to do better than they have done. And sometimes it's to our demise. Sometimes we have made it too easy on our kids. And every time they suffer, we try to jump in there and rescue. Sometimes y'all let your kids go through some difficulty. It makes them stronger, right? It really does, believe you me. In Romans chapter 8, most of us know verse 28. God turns all things for the good. But I love verse 32. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you realize some of the best gifts in the world God started with? He gave us Jesus. That's the best gift in the world. And when Jesus had to leave, you know what God did? He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. Because Jesus is limited by his flesh, but my spirit will know no limitations. He's all over the world ministering to people all at one time. God started with the best. God's never withhold good from his children. And he says, if I started with the best, why would you think that I would withhold any good thing from you? But the lie of the enemy will come to you and he'll say, oh, you don't know what you're missing. I can tell you what you're missing. If you're out there sleeping with people, you're probably going to have a lot of problems. You know, the Bible, you know, God created sex. About time we talk about that in church sometimes. You know, it wasn't just for procreation. It was for unity, so that we could become one, and it was for enjoyment. You all acting like, oh, no, it's not for enjoyment. You bunch of sinners. You know it's good. It's good when you do it God's way. Do you realize how many times sex has messed up people's lives? How deceived are homosexuals? See, they're doing things their way rather than God's way. They're not bad people. They're human. They're messing up. Church, we don't beat them over the head. We love them and tell them the truth, that God loves them. You know? No different than a man having adultery, an adulterous affair. He's messing up. Big time he's messing up. So what do you do when you jump from bed to bed to bed? You're opening yourself up to a lot of diseases, to a lot of harmful things, to a lot of trouble. Trouble. And you know what? God in his infinite wisdom knew the best thing that we could do is have one woman, one man for the rest of their life enjoy the sexual part of their life. You know, the psalmist said, enjoy the wife of your youth. I don't think that means play patty cake. He goes on, he said, let her breast sat. I don't know why I'm preaching about this. This has nothing to do with the sermon. God's not a killjoy is what I'm trying to tell you. If God tells you don't be drunk with wine, what's he trying to do? He's trying to save you. It's not like God is saying, oh, there's so much fun out here, but you can't have that. God's saying, behind the curtain is disaster. And I want to save my kids. Does the tempter still work this way? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's people that believe in a heaven but don't believe in a hell. There's people that believe in a God but they don't believe in a devil. There's people that will quote the verse to you all the time, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you. It's a plan to prosper you. It's a good plan. But they'll never tell you, but the devil has a plan too. The devil has a plan. It's to kill, steal, and destroy from your life. Who are you listening to? I can tell you, a lot of us have been listening to the lies of the enemy. A lot of us are defeated because we've been listening to the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast with him. James tells us, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. In this scripture right there, James tells us that the wages of sin doesn't happen immediately. See, the devil is going to paint you a portrait, a picture, and make you think that you're missing out on so much good. And if you did this, you would be enjoying this kind of life. But he never tells you what is down the road, right? So what happens is you fall prey to the enemy, to the devil's lies. And you do it. And you know what you experience? Fun. Hey, that was pretty good. You know, I sort of enjoyed that. Do you know Samson didn't fall prey to Delilah the first time. He kept going back. He just kept going back and back. Why did he keep going back to Delilah? Because he was enjoying himself. See, the Bible shows us that sin is sort of like a baby, like a woman having a baby. Over time, it takes 9 months for that baby to develop. I got news for you. It takes time for the sin to develop in your life to where it's going to bring forth death, but I promise you, it will develop. You keep living close to the devil, and he's going to have a heyday in your life. And then you're going to come to us, and you're going to say, Pastor, pray for me. I've got this disease. Or, Pastor, I've done this. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to slap you. And I'm going to say, 2 years ago, I told you what was going to happen. No, I'm not. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to love you. Because there go I, except for the grace of God. See, I'm no better than you are. If I'm flirting with the enemy, I'm going to fall just like you. We're all the same. We're all in the same boat. Everyone, you know, even Jesus was tempted. Tempted by the devil. So each one of us is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. I'm not tempted with John's temptation. You know what I think? Satan knows me. Let me say it this way. Satan studies you. He studies you. You know, Satan listens to the way you talk. And he hears what you're saying. And he says, oh, this will work. This will work. This is what they're already talking about. They're already saying they're a failure. I'm just going to help them fulfill that prophecy. You get that? Change your words, change your life. When we begin to speak the word of God over us instead of Satan's words. And every one of us has done it. Don't act like you got a halo up there somewhere, because you don't. Every one of us have listened to the lies of the enemy and repeated them. And that's where they get strong. It is not a sin to be tempted. The sin is to fall to that temptation. Why does sin work so well in us? Because it appeals to our appetites, our selfish ambition, and our attitude. John told us, he said, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And then Proverbs tells us, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end, the way is destruction, the way is death. Are you doing what's right in your own eyes? You know, it's one of the scariest scriptures. The Bible says in the Old Testament, every man did what was right in his own eyes. That is scary. Because if I do what's right in my eyes, I'll take advantage of you. If we've got a deal going on, I want to win. I want to come out better than you. So I'm going to do, if I think your wife is prettier, I want to sleep with her. That's what's right in my eyes. Strong gets stronger. Right? That's the unregenerate man. Now, I hope that you're looking at me saying, Pastor, I can't believe you're talking. That's the intents of an evil heart. But every one of us still have those appetites. See, for you to act so holy right now, you're looking at me like, Pastor, I think we need a new pastor. I'm going to tell you, you won't find a man of God out there that doesn't have these same appetites. We've got to deny ourselves. Pastor Robbie preached this, or Evangelist Robbie, he preached this. Who are you feeding? Which one are you feeding? He made a whole message out of this. Talked about the man of flesh or the man of the spirit. We see this in cartoons all the time. The devil's on one shoulder and Jesus or the spirit's on the other shoulder. It's not far from the truth, is it? I'm going to tell you, God is speaking, but so is the devil. He's tempting you to do things your own way. How many people do you know that bought into the lie? You can take that and no one will ever know. You know, they don't pay you enough. So you ought to help yourself to some of their goods. I knew a girl that I went to high school with. Good girl. Raised up in a good home. Church every week. She wound up stealing like $30,000 from the bank that she worked at. Went to prison for it. Good lady. I still like her. We're still friends. There go I, except for the grace of God. She just believed the lie of the enemy. You know what I want to ask you? Is what lie are you believing? Do you believe you're stupid? Do you believe that you'll never amount to anything? I'm going to use a word here, and forgive me. Do you believe you're a bastard? You don't have a father. I got news for you. You have a father. God is our father, and he's a good father. Pastor, I think you need to get saved. So does my wife. I'll guarantee you, I'm going to hear about that when I get home. I can't believe you talk like that. I just had to say that where she wouldn't harp on me about the sex thing. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what their first thought was? Hide from God. Do you know we're still the same way? You know, I've watched church people. When church people mess up, they don't come to church. They stay away from church. Now, sometimes that's a good reason. I remember back in the early 80s, we had this little evangelist that came to church. He was an Indian. He wasn't quite, used to the methods. He was from India. He wasn't used to the culture of America. And he was very gifted prophetically. And he started calling people sin out in the church. Now in American church, we don't do that. We had to tell him, hey, we don't do that. I remember him calling one girl about my age. He said, you're sleeping with every boy on campus. Jesus, I don't know if she went under the pew, but I did. I thought, oh man, you know, I started repenting right there. Oh Jesus, forgive me, forgive me. I'm leading worship, he may call me out. We try to conceal our sin. We get dressed up, put on the right face, and come to church, and we try to act to everybody, I've got my act together. Hey, I'm a pretty good fella. Got everything going my way. You liar. You're falling apart. You just don't want anybody to see it. You know, you're so scared of being truthful. We're scared that if we show our true self, that we're going to be rejected. Isn't that sad? And the place where people should be loved and not judged, they're scared to death. They're going to find judgment in the house of God instead of love. I got news for you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not. Sitting at a dinner table one time when I was real young, my brother was called to be a pastor. We were several other pastors, and it was about the same time that Jimmy Swaggart had made a sin, had sinned and really messed up. And they were eating his lunch. I mean, they were talking about him. And my brother was silent. Didn't say a word. And they looked at my brother and they said, I was never so proud of my brother. They looked at my brother and they said, what do you think? And he said, I think there go I, except by the grace of God. Folks, you better be careful when you start pointing fingers of judgment at people. Because you probably have something worse in your life. We are all fallen creatures. But aren't you thankful that our sin has been nailed to the cross? We don't have to bear it any longer. Psalms 32 says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Guys, that's us. God doesn't count our iniquity against us because Jesus paid for it. The word blessed in many versions would read happy. You ought to be happy that your sins are forgiven. He says, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. But when I acknowledged my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden, I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That is what Jesus wants. He wants you to confess your sins to him, and you will find mercy and grace and forgiveness, not judgment. But if you continue down this road, you will meet destruction. I promise you. Good people get divorced. Good people get diseases. Good people get COVID. Can I say it a different way? Saved people get divorced. Saved people get diseases. Saved people get COVID. But you're never alone. God never promised us that we would live in a world with no problem. It was quite different. In this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You will have difficulty, I promise. Deb said it better than I can say it. We watched Deb. We watched her go through cancer. Full of faith. I never ever once heard her doubt. But yet her hair fell out. Her heart was damaged by the chemo she took. Still believing God for restoration of that. But she came out a winner. She came out healed and blessed the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to go through difficulty, but God is faithful. God will see you through it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation is taking you except that it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I remember quoting this verse to a person one time. And this person looked at me and she said, God obviously thinks I'm stronger than I do. Because she didn't think she could stand up under the temptation or burden that she was facing. I got news for you. God doesn't send you through a temptation so he can know how strong you are. He allows you to go through things so you can know how strong you are. So you can be developed into trusting him in good times and bad times. You know, if we could live on the mountaintop all the time, I would vote for it. But we would be like two-year-olds all of our life. Mining, mining. Give it to me, right? We would be selfish children. God doesn't want you to die the same way you were when you were two. That's a message all by itself. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I may preach that sometime. Do you mean to tell me that the devil was able to go into a perfect environment where God talked to his children every day and he convinced them to eat of the fruit? It's absolutely truth. It's absolutely truthful. If they could slip, if Satan could slip into an environment and tempt Eve to sin, what makes you think he can't do that to you? Are you grounded in the Word? Because the Word is what helps us win. The Spirit of God and the Word of God combined in your life gives you the power, the overcoming power, to overcome the enemy. You know, by prophetic measure, I would say this. Satan's been beating some of you up. I mean, just like he had a ball bat to your head, he's been beating the fire out of you. And you're not so sure whether it's God or the devil. Maybe that's why the Lord put this sermon on my heart. Just to tell you, that ain't God. God loves you. God wants you to have good things. God come to bless you, not curse you. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus has come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Are you listening to me? Why would you ever doubt God? Satan is after your confession. He's after your belief system. See, if you remember when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, she was probably the most confused little teenage girl you'd ever seen in your life. You know, I don't know much, but I know you can't have a baby without being with a man. Well, we're going to do something different in you, is what the angel said. Something different's going to happen to you. The Bible says she didn't understand it, but she pondered it. But she ended with these words, "Be it unto me as you have spoken." You know, if we can just say that. God, I don't fully understand what you're doing in my life, but here's what I want. You be it unto me what you have in store for me. I want everything, God, that you have in store for me. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying, don't run from God, run to God. I don't care how bad you've blown it. I don't care that you failed in your words, that you fell. Do you remember Peter at the last? He said, I'm going fishing, guys. You know what that was? He's throwing his hands up. I don't know what I've been doing for the last 3 years, but I'm going back to what I know works. I'm going to go fishing. You know, Jesus came to him personally and ask him three times, do you love me? You know, Jesus never appeared to the 11 disciples and said, Jesus, I want to talk to my boys. Said to Peter, did I say that right? Said to Peter, hey, would you mind giving us a moment? I want to talk to my disciples. No. He left the ten and went after Peter. How do you think Peter felt? He felt like an utter failure. That's how he felt. Have you ever felt like an utter failure in your walk with God? Do you know God's not pushing you back? God says, I need to go talk to this one. I need to make sure this one knows I love them, because they've blown it this week. I wish we would get over our sin. We're all about sin in the body of Christ. We just concentrate on it so much, rather than concentrating on what the will of God is. You know, God saved you so that you would follow Him. When God saves you, it opens up your spirit so you can hear the voice of God. Do you know you have that ability? God can speak to you. If you are born again, you do. My sheep know my voice. God wants to talk to you. God is not mad at you. I don't care what you've done. God's not mad at you. God loves you. My sons made me mad when I was young and they were young. Lots of times they'd make me mad. Lots of times I'd discipline them, but I never stopped loving them. And I'm evil compared to God. Right? So are you. Don't look at me like that. You being evil, wanted to do good gifts, give good gifts to your children. How much more would the Father give you the Holy Spirit? Are you getting this? Don't run from Him, run to Him. Adam blamed Eve. What have you done, Adam? It's her fault. I was doing good until you gave me her. You know, we do the same thing today. We are looking to blame somebody for our mess up. Well, you don't understand, Pastor, the way I was raised. My daddy never loved me. My daddy never said this to me. My daddy never did. Oh, get over yourself. You're 45 years old. At some point, you got to take responsibility for who you are. Nobody's fault but yours. You're making the decisions. You're the pilot at your ship. Now let's take responsibility. Eve did the same thing. She blamed the serpent. Well, God, that stinking snake come in this garden, started talking to me. Now, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a clue. If an animal starts talking to you, you ought to run. Kick that thing in the head and get out of Dodge. You walk in your kitchen and the roaches start saying, hey, come here, I got a secret for you. Whoa! I don't know what I took last night, but I ain't taking it no more. You know there's consequences to our sin. The main thing is how do we change? James said this. He said, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you know he didn't write that to sinners? He wrote that to the church. He wrote that to believers. You know, believers mess up all the time. You know, believers steal. Do you know believers lie? Do you know that believers get drunk? I'm telling you the truth. Do you know God loves them still? But you know what they've got to do? They need to ask forgiveness. They need to humble themselves, resist the devil, submit to God, draw near to God. God never has ever, ever, ever expected perfection. God wants humility. God says, will you humble yourself and draw near to me? I love that next verse. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. God never says, get it right, boy, and then we'll talk. He never says that. God meets you at your worst moment in life. You have nothing to hide from him. He knows you. I don't care what face you put on, God sees your heart. God knows you. Isaiah told us to seek the Lord while he can be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And Romans tells us if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. I think I'm probably talking mostly to saved people in this room. But if you're not saved, why not? Please listen to me, because I want to answer that question. If you're not saved, why not? It's because Satan has got you convinced that God is not good. That's the only reason that people wouldn't get saved. You hear me? The only reason people won't get saved because they don't trust that he's good. If you believe that God was good, you would go to him. You can trust him with your mess ups. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your failures and with your broken world. You can trust God. God never ever wants to do anything in our life except heal, restore, and touch you for good. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to say today. I had the whole sermon, but I really didn't know what the Lord wanted to say. But I can tell you one thing. God gave me this sermon, and God knew you were going to be here. Now, you can dismiss it. You can act like, hey, that was a nice little sermon you had there, Pastor. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't so nice. But it was from God to you. It was from God to you. Every one of us want to act like, no, that sermon wasn't for me. Yeah, it was. Because you're just as much as a mess up as the rest of us. There's no good people in here. There's saved people in here. Are you getting that right? Are you hearing me? God is good. We're not. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. That's why God wants to change your heart. If your heart was good, he'd leave it alone. But God wants to change your heart. He said, I'll put a new spirit in you. Why? We need it. The ways of man are continually on evil. You don't believe it? Work with those unsaved people. You know, it doesn't frustrate God when sinners sin. That's their nature. But God has put a light in you to shine in the darkness. That's what it's all about. You're his poster child. You see, when you're having the worst trial of your life is when everybody in the world that you work with is going to watch you. Because they know one thing for sure. Now I'll see the truth. See, when that saved couple go through a divorce, they're waiting to hear them deny God. When that saved couple loses a child, has a child die, they're waiting to hear them say, I thought God was good. But when you say, God is good. I may not understand everything I'm going through, but I trust him. But I'm going to tell you, the world will wake up and they'll look at you and say, you got something I ain't got. And yes, that's true. You have the Spirit of God within you. Now, I hope and pray that those things do not happen to you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of couples in this church that have lost children, not lost in salvation, but they have died, and they're still trusting Jesus. I think it's one of the strongest amounts of faith that I've ever seen in my life. is to go through something like that and be able to say, my Redeemer lives and I trust him. David said this when David had, remember King David had a child to die? He said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And I'm going to trust him. Man. Don't be listening to the devil. Listen to what God says, because God loves you. The devil hates you. Would you stand with me? You know, I started to open the altars and just say, if the devil's been lying to you, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. But you know, the truth of the matter is, what the Lord has showed me, there's not a person in here that the devil hasn't been lying to. The devil's been lying to every one of us. I'm serious, folks. We need to strengthen each other, and we strengthen each other by letting people know that we're not perfect, that we're going through a difficult time. Will you pray for me? I'm telling you, there are numerous pastors that are thinking about getting out of the ministry. Why? Because they're having a difficult year. One of the worst. I think of your pastor. Going through 2020 is not enough. He lost his dad this year. You don't think he's dealing with discouragement and depression? One of the godliest young men I know. The devil is fighting hard against him. You know, Pastor Art used to say, encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. We need to be speaking encouragement to each other. So I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I want to pray for you. Is that all right? Would you mind just lifting your hand to the Lord? I know that may not be real comfortable to you, but get over yourself. Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to touch these people. Father, I know with a sermon like this, I know that Satan's been lying to us. I know right now that I'm speaking to many discouraged believers. I'm speaking to people that Satan has been telling them that God is not good and God cannot be trusted. And I pray, Father, that they've heard the Spirit of the Lord speaking strongly through me that God is good and God can be trusted and God will go with you through the darkest hour of your life. God is there. God, I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke Satan in their life. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I pray that his lies would fall today and the truth of the Word of God would spring up in their life and they would see it and love it and cling to your truth. Father, reveal yourself and may your truth bear life in their bodies and in their souls and heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now you have one hand up, raise both hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Let me make one more announcement. January 28th through the 30th is a men's encounter in Lebanon, Missouri. And a lot of us men in the church are going to be going. And I would encourage you, if you can take off a weekend, I've only been once, but it's one of the most wonderful weekends that I've ever spent. Guys, sometimes we'll spend money and invest in everybody else but ourselves. And I just want to say, would you invest a weekend in you? You know, God will change your family as he changes you, man of God. If you can at all, I want you to go to this weekend with us. We're going to try to rent a van. We're going to go together. They feed you well. The cost is just over $100. If you don't have that, you come and see me. And Treva will pay for it for you. So we'll see what we can do. I don't want anybody not to go because of money. So if you need help going, don't worry about that. We'll get you there. And it's not a fabulous preacher. It's men just like you and me that come up and share what God has done in their life. And when you get in a room of about 600 men that love Jesus with all their heart, it just rocks your world. It does something for you that, I like to use this, it leaves an indelible mark on your life. You'll never be the same. Remember Jacob when he wrestled with the angel? For the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. God left his life with a mark. If you go to this weekend with me, I promise you this, God will mark your life for the rest of your life. That's a pretty good promise, don't you think? Can I trust you, Pastor? I'm not sure, but I'm not God. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful time. Please be prepared next week to give to Convoy of Hope. God bless you.